Good morning, Boker Tov. Delighted to be here. And the topic we're going to address today is one which I think has occupied the Jewish world in a more, maybe throughout our history, but maybe even in a more intense way over the last 71 years. And maybe let me introduce this with two comments, and then we'll come back to the actual learning. I think our recent experience as a Jewish nation, be it through the Shoah, and then with the establishment of the Medinat Yisrael, I'd even say more than that, going through the experience of Yom Yerushalayim, and being suddenly finding ourselves with Yerushalayim in our hands, and moving forward, has really raised questions about where we are on the line of exile and redemption. These questions aren't questions in theory. These questions are questions which really palpably affect how we want to read reality. Just to give maybe the most extreme example that I can think of. I'm sure most people in the room here even remember the episode of the Machteret HaYehudit, the Jewish underground, which was discovered in 1982. A group of people who were Zionist yeshiva bachrim, who had planned to blow up Har HaBayit. When I once saw a documentary where they interviewed Yehuda Etzion, one of the leaders of that group. I mean, they were imprisoned. They were put on trial and they were sent to jail. Interestingly enough, President Herzog pardoned them. I'm not quite sure on what basis. But I saw an interview with Yehuda Etzion, one of the leaders of the group, and this is what he said. He said, "We experienced the establishment of the State of Israel, clear sign of God, then 1967, return to Yerushalayim, Hebron, Shiloh, however it might be, the Geula is increasing. And now, the Israeli government is giving back." This was around the time, 1982, of the Camp David Accords. "And now, the Israeli government is giving back pieces of Eretz Yisrael. They are working against the redemption. We have to put it back on track." Their idea was that somehow by blowing up Har HaBayit, this would put it back on track. One can debate whether this was a sensible move. The if you want, the messianic fervor which somehow can animate these circles is really a sign that the sense of redemption is very, very present in people's sense of consciousness. And I'll even say a conversation that I had with somebody. I was talking to and now going into a totally different camp, to a Chabad Chosid recently on my flight over from Eretz Yisrael to here. And he was talking about the notion of Mashiach. And he made an exceptional comment, which I found exceedingly disturbing, almost as disturbing as Yehuda Etzion's comment. Okay? But he's obviously Chabadnik. We want Mashiach now, Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach. He said to me, he says, "You remember 2 weeks ago when Hamas was sending over hundreds of rockets over to southern Israel?" He says, "Some people, I mean, I know what I was doing then. I took out my Sefer Tehillim and I said a few Tehillim. I was concerned, I was worrying, and indeed people were killed in that rocket attack." He said, "I was excited. I said, now maybe Mashiach will come today." The question that we have here is a question which is an age-old question, and it is a question which is a modern question. As I put it here, do we want Mashiach now? Do we have to feel that Mashiach is going to be coming every single day? As we say in Ani Mamin, does that mean that we actually have to anticipate Mashiach, that he'll come today and go to sleep disappointed tonight because he hasn't come? Or what exactly does this mean from us? And what I would like to do is try and build, as you can see from the title, two models of redemption, to understand two different sort of paradigms that are contained within our sources. We'll start with rabbinic sources, and we'll go back to the Tanakh itself, and understand, if you want, two different models of redemption. And I hope this will give some sort of depth and some sort of parameters to the question that we're dealing with. And from there, maybe we can sort of organize things in our mind and see what we can think about. Okay, so let's set sail looking at the first Makor in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, which Amar Rav, Kalu Kol Hakitzim. This is a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. We're dealing with Rav and Shmuel. We're in the beginning of the 3rd century. The Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed maybe for 150 years. And Rav says, Kalu Kol Hakitzim. The cates, right? The predestined times of Mashiach, Kalu. They've all come and gone. Those we thought, 70 years. I don't know what people thought. Bar Kochba. It never came. It hasn't come. If we're going to get a redemption, it's going to happen because we do tshuva and we improve our actions. Ushmuel Amar, but Shmuel says, Dayol Eldel Shi'amod Be'evlom. It is sufficient for a mourner to keep his period of mourning. Now, what does he mean by that? What do we mean by it's sufficient for a mourner to keep his period of mourning? Maybe let's just go one more. Line, it says, "Ketanai." This is a machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Elazar Omer, "Im Yisrael osim tshuva nigalim, v'im lav eim nigalim." Like Rav said later after Rabbi Elazar, if Am Yisrael do tshuva, they are redeemed, and if not, they won't be redeemed. Rabbi Yeshua says, "Im ein osim tshuva nigalim." In other words, if you build a model that geula will happen as a result of tshuva, what's the catch? What's the problem?
No tshuva, no geula.
If there's no tshuva, there might not be geula. And this is where Shmuel says, "Dayo la'avel she'amod be'evlo." In other words, a person sits shiva. How long do they sit shiva for? 7 days. A person say, "But I really loved my relative very dearly. I want to sit for 2 weeks." We won't let that. Okay. You shloshim is shloshim, and yud beis cholesh is yud beis cholesh. That's it. In other words, I'll put it differently. Maybe I'll put it in. What do they mean in terms of geula? I think they mean this. If a person commits a crime, somebody robs a bank, I don't know what, and then they get sent to jail. So they get sent, judge says, 15 years, 20 years. So even if they don't have good behavior, even if they don't express remorse, as long as they've done their time, they've done their time. If you say, "Mipnei chata'enu galinu meratzenu," as we do, so the chait has a certain... Hashem made a gzera. You go into galus. 70 years, 150 years, whatever it is. Time's up. Time's up, right? That's the opinion of Shmuel. Dayo la'avel she'amod be'evlo. The critical feature of this is it dependent on us? No. L'chora, it's not dependent on us, according to Shmuel, right? It's enough for a mourner to be in his period of mourning, means there's a fixed time and that's it. It's over. Whereas Rav says it's dependent on Shuvah Masim Tovim. Yes?
So Shmuel is he arguing with Rav in terms of the fact that all the cates have already passed? Because according to Shmuel, then, after that period of time, the Ula should have already come.
I think so that's what he thinks.
Saying, Rav, you're not correct that those time periods haven't come and passed. If they had, we would have been nigel.
Right. In other words, I think that's exactly what he's saying. In which case, basically, he says, or put it differently, Shmuel is saying, we're waiting for Mashiach. And Rav is saying, Mashiach is waiting for us. Okay? That's how we might want to describe it. Interestingly enough, in the Tanaim, had a slightly closer argument. These are the Amoraim, Rav and Shmuel, the first generation of Amoraim. But if you look, the Gemara says, this is disputed by the Tanaim, Rabbi Elazar said, right? Ketanai, Rabbi Elazar says, "Im Yisrael osim tshuva nigalim, im lav ein nigalim." That's the opinion taken by Rav. Rabbi Yoshua said, "Im ein osim tshuva ein nigalim, ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'amid lahem melech shegzerotav kashot kahaman, v'Yisrael osim tshuva machziran lemutav." Rav and Shmuel both agreed that Am Yisrael have to do tshuva. The question is, who kickstarts the tshuva? According to Rabbi Yoshua, we will instigate the tshuva. According to the second opinion there, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we kickstart tshuva. Rabbi Yoshua says, when Hashem wants to bring the geula, like in Egypt or whatever it might be, what will he do? He'll bring tremendous anti-Semitism, and Am Yisrael will do tshuva, and we'll come back. Interesting to think. I mean, I can't think of certainly from our historical vantage point, a worse anti-Semitic eruption than the Shoah and Nazi Germany. Interesting to ask the question, has this caused Am Yisrael, as in their words, we've certainly experienced a king, Shegzerotav, Kashim Kahaman, okay? Can we necessarily say that has caused Am Yisrael Lasot Tshuva or Machziran Mutav? We'll leave that question open for the time being. Okay, that's so much the Tanaim. I want to claim that really these two options, which had been rolled about by the Tanaim and by the Amoraim, actually have deeper roots, and these antecedents go back to two models in Tanakh. Tanakh is my field, and that's what I generally teach, but I think that we can identify in the Torah itself these two models very, very clearly, and we will be able to do this even more with the help of the Ramban, who will help us. So let's try and look at the two models, and then we'll see what we can say regarding maybe certain contemporary implications. I'm going to suggest that there is a model of Geula in Devarim and a model in Vayikra, especially in the two Tochachot, the Tochacha of Bukhukotai and that of Kitavo, and they have a different dynamic. Let's look at the model in Devarim. These psukim are all going to be sure quite familiar to you. The psukim here in Devarim that I'm reading in source number 2 is our Kriyas HaTorah for Tisha B'Av. And then we read, when you have children and grandchildren and you're in the land for a while, and you do idolatry and you anger Hashem, I testify by the heaven and the earth that you will be driven out of the land. You'll be destroyed. You'll be dispersed. You will be dispersed. You will remain small in number. And there, interesting pasuk, by the way. There you will serve man-made gods of wood and stone. When we wandered around the world, we served other gods. So some people actually want to interpret this as meaning we will be subjugated to being a minority in dominant cultures who have alien religions to us. Interesting discussion of the Rambam. The Rambam in the first parak of Masechet Avodah Zarah, they talk about how you're not allowed to even live in a city which has an Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam says, if that's true, how can we live in a city with a church? He defines Christianity as Avodah Zarah. How can we live, he says, in a city with a cathedral or whatever it is? We shouldn't live here. So he says, but what can we do? Hashem has put us into Galus. This is where we can live. We can't live anywhere else. Where are we going? Everywhere has got, other religious institutions. And this is exactly what Hashem predicted when he said that you will be not that you'll serve them, but the dominant culture will be such that you will be sort of embedded within these cultures, etc.
Maybe Eitz is Christianity and Evan is Muslim.
Sorry?
Maybe Eitz refers to Christianity because and Evan is Muslim.
Maybe. Who knows?
Well, no, the Rambam didn't say Muslim to be able to serve.
That's true. Anyway, for our purposes, what do we want? Pasuk Chavtet. Uvikashtem Misham et Hashem Elokecha. And this is the famous pasuk. From there, who instigates? Am Yisrael. You will seek God. Umatzata, you'll find him. Ki tradushena b'chol avavcha v'chol nafshecha b'sar lecha. When things are hard. Umatzaucha chalad rima'ele b'achrit ha'yamim. V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. You'll return to God. V'shamata b'kolo, you will listen to his voice. In other words, we do tshuva, and then we will find Hashem. I'm going to skip source number 3 for a minute, even though it expresses the same paradigm. We'll come back to it, please God. So that's paradigm number 1. We go into Galus, and when we return to God, then we will find him, and that will create a process of return to Hashem. In source number 3, which we will read, that invokes also Kibbutz Galuyot, the return of the exiles, and you know the restoration of Am Yisrael to its land. Source number 4 in Vayikra has a different model. So let's take a look at that, and we'll try and match up these sources. This, of course, is from the Tochacha, where in B'chukotai Telecha, we're going to read in a couple of weeks, if you keep my laws, and then I'm going to give you lots of different brachot, v'natati gishmichem b'ita, v'nan nahar etzibula, v'itza sadei yitein pirio, v'isig lachem dai shepatzir, v'batzir asig etzara, v'achaltim lachemachem lasova, you're going to have lots of, right? V'italachti b'tochachem, v'iti lachem Elohim, v'natati mishkani b'tochachem. So everything's going to be wonderful. V'im lo tishmu li, and if you don't listen, says Vayikra, lo tasu et kol miswada eile. And of course, v'avadatem bagoyim v'achlaitchem eretz oyveichem. Right, you're going to go into exile. V'anisharim b'chem yimaku b'avonam. You're going to remain in your state of sinning. And then we're reaching the end. What's going to happen at the end of this galut? Interestingly enough, it says pasuk mem. V'hitvadu et avonam v'et avon avotam. There seems to be a vidui. So maybe there's tshuva, who knows? B'ma'alam Hashem ma'alubi. So you're going to confess your sin and the sin of your forefathers because of your sins which you sinned against me. V'af Hashem halchu imi b'keri. But then he says, Af ani elechi mahem b'keri. I will still remain hostile to them. Even though you confess, until their obstinate heart will humble itself, and until they will atone for their iniquity. Okay? Well, the question is, what does this phrase mean? Az yirtsu et avonam. Strange phrase. I put the Rashi in the below, okay, and the Ramban. If we look in 4a, what's Yitzhu Rabbonam? V'az Yitzhu Rabbonam, you see, are you with me, 4a? Yeah? Rashi, Yechapru al Avonam b'Yisurehem. In other words, when they're suffering, they will be mechaper for their sins. V'anachon b'enai, says the Ramban, Shiomar v'hebeiti otam b'eretz oyveihem, I'm going to bring them into the lands of their enemies. That's, ad zman yikana levav amarel, either till they do tshuva, or adzman yirtzu rabbanam ba'orach hagalut. So two options: either they'll do tshuva, or they'll, like I said with the example, dayola avel shi'amud ve'lo, till they pay off their sins. So either they will actually have a change of course, or they will simply, like a prison sentence, pay off their time. Which one is really correct? Well, let's see the model. Pasuk mem bet. V'zacharti et briti Yaakov et briti Yitzchak v'afet briti Avraham eskor v'haaretz eskor. I'll remember the bris of what we call zchut avot. So, in other words, what does he see? He doesn't say, "And I will see that they do tshuva." He says, "I'll remember the bris avot." Number 2, mem gimel, v'aretz tiazev mehem, the land will be abandoned, v'tiretz et shabtoteha, it will pay back its shabbatot. Bahashama mehem, in a state of destruction, mehem yirtzu et avonam, yano v'yam b'shutayim asu bet chukayna galan Hashem, and they will pay off their sins. V'af gamzot biot be'aretz el mehem lo ma'astim, I haven't rejected them, v'lo ga'altim lechalotam la'afer briti etam, ki ani Hashem elokichem, v'zacharti lehem brit rishonim asher oteiti otam eretz Yisrael, le'inei agoyim liot lahem l'Elohim ani Hashem. In other words, okay, does it seem like they do tshuva in this model? No. He says, look, I remember your father, your grandfather, I remember Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, I'll redeem you because of Zchut Avot, but we're going to take the second option in the Rambam. Not Yirtzu Et Avonam, in other words, then Yikana Levavam Ma'arel, not that they actually changed course, but instead that they paid off their sins. Now just to this interesting phrase, V'az Yirtzu Et Avonam V'tiretz Shabtoteha. Yes?
How do we see that it's not that they did Shuvah? Like, why don't you say that once they humble themselves, that's going to be the atonement, and then he will remember, then Hashem will remember the bris, and then...
Okay, but if we've already sort of done tshuva, then why does Hashem need to remember the bris? In other words, we've earned it, right? We've earned it rightfully.
I think that's the contract. That's when we do tshuva and then Hashem brings Mashiach.
Okay.
That's part of the deal, essentially.
I hear you, but again, if I've done something problematic and then I make amends for what I've done, right? Then I should, if you want, earn my.
Yeah, in that case, like you get put in timeout, you say you're sorry, and then your parent takes you out of timeout. So like we're in timeout, we do tshuva, and then Hashem takes us out.
Okay, but the problem is here we don't really see tshuva, right? We don't really see tshuva. We don't see a change of course. At the most, you see this do tabonam. They're aware of their sinning, but it doesn't anywhere say. We don't have a shaftam, and God says, "I'll do it." Again, the way the Ramban reads it, which I think is preferable to Rashi, is when it says, "Azik in pasuk mem aleph, oh Azik anal v'amarel va'Azik tzuravonam." He reads it not two together, but one or the other. Either they will subjugate themselves, or they will pay off their sins. Now, to understand the difference between the two. Maybe what I will do, and let's take a look at one model of the Vayikra model, and that you'll see in source number 5 here, Divrei Yamim. Divrei Yamim is describing the destruction of the first temple, the Galut in Babel, or in Persia, later it became Persia, and the return. The last lines of your whole Tanakh, the last lines of Divrei Yamim. And it starts off with Vayisrafu et Beit Elokim Venatsu et Chomat Yerushalayim. The Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. And now turn over, and what happens? Vayagel Hashevut Menacherev El Bavel. The people who survived were exiled to Bavel. Vayhi lo ulevanav la'avadim ad Maloch Malchut Paras. And they were slaves to the king of Bavel till the advent of Persia. Why? Lemalot Devar Hashem b'fi Yirmiyahu, to fulfill the prophecy of Yirmiyahu, and you can check it up, Yirmiyahu Chavtet and Lamed Aleph, which says this: Ad ratzta ha'aretz eshabdoteha, till the land has paid back its shmita years, kol yemei hashama, all the days of its destruction, shavata, lemalot shivim shana. In other words, apparently, in Bayit Rishon we didn't keep 70 shmita years. By the way, that's quite astounding, because 70 shmita years is like 490 years. Which is like the majority of the period of, you know, from when we came into the land. It's even longer than the first Beis Hamikdash stood. And we weren't keeping Shemitah for all that time. And the land already in Parashat Bahar says it will, in Bukhokotai tells us the land will claim it back. And this, by the way, notice the phrase here. Ad ratztah ha'aretz shabtoteha is the same phrase that we saw here in Bukhokotai. Vatiretz shabtoteha az yirtzu ravonam is the same phrase. And what's the important thing here?
No mention of tshuva.
Not even no mention of tshuva, there's actually a mention of an alternative. Of a case, which is what? 70 years, you see it? In other words, you've got 70 years to pay off, 70 years is done, you're done, right? And that's exactly the language, and in fact it says, and it was at the end of 70 years, right? Uvishnadachat l'koresh malachparas, in the first year of Koresh, he said, God, aroused Heir Hashem at lechalot Dvar Hashem piyahu to fulfill Yirmiyahu's prophecy. Heir Hashem at Roch Koresh Melech Paras vaver kol b'chol machutov v'gam b'chtav leimor that you can go back to Yerushalayim. Why did we come back to Yerushalayim in the time of Bayit Sheni and Shivat Zion, the time of Koresh, the first line of Sefer Ezra? Not because we've done tshuva. In fact, of course, when Ezra comes back, he finds that people are intermarried and not keeping Shabbos and they haven't really done tshuva, but why? It's a gezeira of 70 years, you've got to pay off the prison sentence, you're done. What about tshuva? Doesn't seem to be that. This is indeed what the Ramban says. If you look in Ramban in source 6, v'tistakel od b'inyana gu'ula mimenu. Let me just give you the Ramban's basic theory. The Ramban's theory is that Vayikra represents the first galus. The Tochacha of Bahar and Bukhokotai that we're going to read next week, right, the week after, is the pattern of Galut Rishon, Galut Bavel. And the pattern of Sefer Devarim is the current Galut. okay, is what we call Galut Edom, the long Galut that we've experienced for 2,000 years. If you look again here in Ramban,
he says that we're in this Vayikra.
Yeah, in this passage in Vayikra. It's a very long Ramban in Vayikra. But you'll see it here. He says, "Vistakel." It's in source number 6. "Vistakel od binyan gulami menu she'eino avtiach rak shi'is kor brit avot." Look at the gula, he says. It only mentions that he'll remember brit avot. "Uvizchirat aretz," and that he'll mention and the memory of the land. "Lo shim chol avonam v'yislach chatotam v'yosif avatam kekedem." Not that he'll forgive their sins, and not that he will renew his love. V'lo she'asof enitrehem, he won't even bring back all the exiles. Ki hayu kain, ki haya kain balotam mi-babel. That was what happened when they came back from Babel. Shelo shavu, rak Yudah v'nyamin v'halviyim imahem ma'atam. A small percentage of Yudah v'nyamin came back, and the Leviim. U'miksad ha-shvatim ha-shekalu le-babel, and a fragment of the shvatim that went to Babel. V'shavu b'dalut, they came back in a lowly state, in poverty. Avdut Malchei Paras, without independence, without sovereignty. V'gam lo amar sheyashuvu b'tshuva shleima lefanav. Also, it doesn't say that they'll do tshuva. Rak sheyitvadu avonam v'avon avotam. Just that they will be aware of their sins and their father's sins. U'matzinu anshei bayit sheni, we find them at a bayit sheni, osin kein kamo sheyitvada Daniel. You see Daniel's confessions. Chatanu avinu v'hirshanu baradnu v'sur mitzvotech l'malkeinu l'sareinu avotenu. And he says, ki b'chateinu avotenu uvavonot avotenu Yerushalayim v'amchala cherpa, psukim that we quote in Tachanun, right? V'gam Nechemya hitvada, and also Nechemya, but now he says, aval habrit shebe Mishneh Torah. But the covenant in Mishneh Torah, the Tochacha Mishneh Torah, yirmoz legalutenu ze, that hints to our current galut, ulegu'ula shenigael mimenu, and to the redemption that we will be redeemed from it, ki yistakalnu tchila, because in Devarim there is no kates, there is no fixed time. The whole mechanism is triggered only and exclusively by tshuva in Devarim. And the geula in Devarim is the most supreme. Now, yeah.
Don't we usually use that term yisvadu as a vidui?
Of course, vidui is usually a part of tshuva,
right?
But what you actually do find when you read through Ezra and Nehemiah is frequently they go up and they turn around and they're trying to encourage the people to do tshuva, and they say, our forefathers were so bad, and don't keep on doing this. And then the people do keep on doing it. So you actually find there a sort of awareness, almost like an awareness that they're that we've sinned, but how would I say it? Almost like an inability to take the next stage, which is the ability to actually change the national course. And you find, if you read through Ezra and Nehemiah, you just find that they're butting their heads up against this intermarriage problem and find it very, very difficult to solve it. A minority decide to separate from their non-Jewish wives, but the majority continue with this intermarriage and don't seem, even though they're aware of the historical paradigm of redemption of exile and sin, and they don't seem to be able to have the wherewithal,
traction,
to really be able to change it.
As it is today,
there are a lot of parallels between Ezra and Nehemiah and our current state.
My second question is with respect to the second galus that the Ramban mentions. I was always under the impression that there are two ways, that there is a case. In other words, see, the Ramban saying that there is no case to the second galut. It could go on beyond this, whatever 6,000 years means, wherever you start counting from, that there is no such thing of the case, that it's all totally on Shuva. Is that what the Ramban is saying?
I think he is saying that. Again, I don't know what, I can't claim to have read every single line of the Ramban on this, and the Ramban was a Kabbalist, and there is this notion of 6,000 years, which comes through, certainly through Kabbalah, very strongly. Having said that, the Ramban is saying in Sefer Devarim, there's no indication that this has to happen. I will say there might be certain lines in Ha'azinu which will say that maybe Hashem will redeem us despite ourselves. He will redeem us because then the other nations will say Yadenu Rama v'lo Elohim asazot. In other words, they'll say, you know, we, and therefore Hashem will redeem us for his own name, not necessarily for ours, but in those, in Ki Tolid Banim, in Devarim Perek Dalet, and in Devarim Lamed, which I want to look at in a second, we will see the mechanism is that it's dependent on us. Now, if I can...
Unless the Ramban implies, like Rabbi Yeshua, that the screws will be put on so hard...
That's possible.
That then they will do tshuva. In other words, tshuva is a prerequisite, right. Unlike what happened in the first Galus by Bavel. Tshuva is an absolute prerequisite. If they don't do tshuva, they don't get moving. But they can always raise
Hashem
the temperature.
Hashem can raise
the temperature, put the screws out,
possible.
Put the screws out.
So I assume that's how Rabbi Yeshua saw it. I just want to say one thing about this. We've spoken a little bit about the, you know, yes tshuva, no tshuva, kates, no kates. But I want to... If you had to decide which one you want, the Vayikra model or the Devarim model, okay? Let's say we get to choose. So which one do you choose?
Vayikra,
because, you know, you get it anyway.
Devarim. Why wouldn't you choose Devarim? Because
it's not going to happen.
If Mashiach comes and you haven't done tshuva, you'll be living with the busha for forever.
Right.
You haven't corrupted the Averis, so
exactly. So I want to say something about exactly this point. On the one hand, there's something very the advantage of the Vayikra model, right? Or of the model of what we said before of Shmuel, Dayo Yalvel Sheyamod Bevlo, is that we've got an insurance policy. It will end. The problem is, what will be the quality of the Geula? And here, this is where I want to just come back to Devarim Perek Lamed, source number 3 here, where you actually see a fascinating dynamic here. This is from Parshat Nitzavim. And Vayaki Yavo Elecha Kol Adrim Eila Bracha V'Klala, when all the bad things have happened, Hashem Tehadif Natati Avnecha, I've highlighted here the word, the verb, which is a Mila Mancha, is Lashuv. Can you see I've highlighted in Hebrew the verb Lashuv? Anyway, the first thing is V'Hashevota Al Vavecha. How do we translate that? V'Hashevota Al Vavecha.
Take it to heart.
Take it to heart. You'll have a sense of self-awareness and... So you're in Galus and you start reassessing your national situation. You say, where are we? Why are we in this miserable state? Next, Pasuk Bet. V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, you return to God, how? V'shamata b'kolok chol asher anochim etzavcha, hayom ata uvalecha, b'chol uvavcha b'chol nashecha. You're going to come back, b'chol uvavcha b'chol nashecha. But now look, who becomes, until now, the subject of this passage has been God or Israel? Israel. Now the subject, the actor, is going to change. Now, and using the same thing, we return to God, and now, V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shulcha, God now acts, and God returns our captives, V'richamecha, V'shav, V'kabetzcha, Mikol Ha'amim, and now he does Kibbutz Kaliot, Im Yidein Elachacha Mekzeh Shemaim, Misham Mikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha, Misham Mikachecha V'viyacha, Hashem Lechacha L'aretz Asher, Shovetecha V'yishta, V'yitivcha V'yirbecha Me'avotecha. So God brings us all home. Ummal Hashem Elohecha Levavcha Ve'Levav Zarecha, and he gives us Mila in a sense. Ramban says he will remove our Yetzer Hara, he'll make things, he'll remove the temptations or the extraneous, the casing of our heart, until we return, so that we will love God B'chol Levavcha B'chol Nashecha, and God will remove all of the curses. But now look, Pasuk Chet, Va'ata Tashuv, but you will return back to God, you will reciprocate. And now, Pasuk Tet, God will reciprocate, and he will increase your pre-bitnecha, your population, and your agriculture. And then, Pasuk Yud, you'll return. What do you see? There's almost like this
dance,
partnership, right? Where you can see it's going up. And I always like that line in Pasuk Tet here, Yashuva sem lasus alecha latov, kashe sasar vatecha. I hear behind this, singing in the background, Yasis alaich kimsos chatan al kala, right? Yasis alaich alohaich kimsos chatan al kala. A sense of love and a sense of, in a good relationship, of course, right? One person does something for the other one does for the other, and it's a real relationship which goes up because that ping pong takes the relationship higher and higher and higher. If you have the Vayikra model, Lamaha Davar Dome, it could be compared, if I take a marital model, to a couple who are having, I don't know, had marital difficulties, they've all made mistakes, and they've divorced, they've gone into Golas. And now, for whatever reason, they go to get divorced, and the judge, I don't know if this ever happens, the judge says, sorry, you've got to go back living together for the sake of the kids, or I don't know what, for the sake of the bitabot, for the sake of the parents, don't get too upset. Right? So they go back living together, but of course, they haven't done any work on the marriage. All the problems are still there, right? It's only going to turn out of time until it explodes again. Ah, but what if instead they do tshuva, in our language, tshuva, in other language. They go for therapy, they improve, they really undergo change, they work on the mistakes. Then there's a possibility that they can actually make their marriage work in a future, they can move back together, actually succeed in making the marriage. Or if I would take a financial model, a company is doing badly, okay? So let's say the bank turns around and says, you know what I'll do? I'll forgo all of your debts. But if the company doesn't change any of its, way of working, doesn't up its sales, doesn't change its, production line, whatever it might be, they're just going to fall into the same debt. Ah, but what if they do an overhaul of their entire system? Then they've got a chance of making it work. In other words, Vayikra's great. The bank simply just waived the loan. So now I feel great about myself, right? I'm in the black, but...
I didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything, and there's no way I'm more likely to succeed next time. So lovely that we've got a case, but we don't have any repair. Whereas the Devarim model, even though it's much harder work. It's harder work to go through the tshuva, the marriage therapy, the management consultancy program. But once we've improved, we're now on a different stage with God. And these are the two different models. And in this regard, the Divrei Yamim text is very, very powerful in the sense that it really does say, there were 70 years, 70 years was over, you come home. But read Ezra and Nehemiah and you realize what a difficult state we were spiritually at the beginning of Bayit Sheni. Only few came back and really, really was not a high level. And... it was only a matter of time till things disintegrated. Whereas we've been in this galus for so long, the sense is that we have to find a way to do the tshuva that we're looking for. By the way, the Rambam, interestingly, if you can paskin on such things, if there is an ability to paskin on historical processes and philosophy, the Rambam in source number 7 here actually paskins like and quotes from Devarim, and he paskins that it's dependent, there's no case, it's dependent on tshuva. As you can see in Hilchot Tshuva, Kol ha-Nevim kulam tzivu ala tshuva, all the prophets commanded on tshuva, ve'ein Yisrael nigalim ela b'tshuva. U'kvar hivticha Torah shesof, and the Torah is promised, shesof Yisrael asot tshuva, besof galutan, u'miyad heim nigalim, sh'neema v'ayayay k'yavo elecha kol ha-dvim ha'ele, v'shav tad Hashem elokecha, v'shav Hashem elokecha.
The Haftacha
that will do tshuva.
And therefore there seems to be some case that will
right.
be...
Right. Well, I don't know if there's a given time, but we have to do that. Yeah.
But doesn't the Navi... don't we have the famous quote of the Navi, the Ita Apishena?
Yes.
So, sort of saying, we're going to... Both models are always operative.
Right. So I actually put that in source number 9. It's fine. So we definitely have this idea of... Be'ita Achishena, which you can see in source number 9 in the statement of Rav Alexandri here, right? So Amar Rav Alexandri, it's about halfway down in that source number 9. Amar Rav Alexandri, well, maybe I'll go from the beginning of that. Uvala Tzion Goel, Amar Rav Yochanan, Eim Ben David Ba, Ela Vador Shekula Zakai, or Kula Chayav. Either in a generation where we're all worthy or all unworthy. Vador Shekula Zakai, Dichtiv and Ishayah, Uvame Chulan Sanikim Lolam Yushu Aretz. In other words, two models are either way all tzaddikim, or basically things are so desperate that the Jewish people will, disintegrate, assimilate, chas v'shalom, and I have to do lema'ani, says God, it's for me, right? And then he says, and this continues with Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Rabbi Yeshua Melevi, Rami Ketiv, it says, be'ita, in its time, B'ketiv, achishena, I will rush it, I will hurry it. Answer, zachu, achishena. If they're zocher, I'll make it come quickly. Lo zachu, be'ita. Right? Which again is this indication that at some level there is a case that Jewish history cannot end without a return, without a redemption, right? But I would still say that the Rambam doesn't define when that end of history should be. But he's defining that this current galut will end with tshuva, will end with a sense of awakening. I'm looking at the time, and I think we're meant to finish a quarter past, correct?
10:30.
Oh, okay.
10:30.
Oh, 10:30? I thought it was only...
If you want to stop early and do questions, that's fine.
Fine, okay. We've got the questions, we're good.
Don't as I'll talk about just like in Mitzrayim, that 80% of Chai Yisrael didn't make it out. But also, Asilado, that the same ratio of Jews will be zocher to see Mashiach. In other words, that there isn't this, that all of Chai Yisrael is going to do a rampant tshuva and that everything is going to be rosy, but that in fact the overwhelming majority of Chai Yisrael will not.
Right. Look. 100%. How we can predict? First of all, I very much appreciate the words of the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, where he actually says, even the Nevi'im, when they spoke about Mashiach, he said all Chazal when they spoke about Mashiach didn't really have a Masorah about this, and all they do, he says, is look back at the Nevi'im and try and figure out from the Pesukim in Yeshayahu, from the Pesukim in Yecheskel, from the Pesukim in Yirmiyahu, how it's going to be. And they're all sort of fumbling for a sort of narrative, but nobody quite knows how it'll be, and nobody's really going to know how it's going to be until it happens. Okay? So that's what the Rambam says very clearly in Hilchot Melachim. But if I can just try and distill this a little bit, and the opinion which says we want Mashiach now, right? Again, I have to say, let me even take a step back. When we talk about Mashiach, what exactly does that entail? You know, the strict word Mashiach means anointed. Anointing means either the Kohen Gadol or a Melech. And this relates back to the statement of Chazal, which also is quoted by the Rambam in Hilchot Melachim. According to the Rambam says, do you think there'll be miracles and everything will change and the streets will be paved with gold in the time of Mashiach? No. The difference between, as he says, Ha'olam Hazeh v'Yemot HaMashiach, the world we live in now, is Shibud Malchuyot. In other words, it means independence. Sovereignty, right? Sovereignty. Well, some people won't even talk about that. In other words, by the way, if that's the only category, to a large degree, we have sovereignty, okay? More than we had in Beit Sheni. Okay, Beit Sheni, we were first under the Persians, and then under the Greeks, and later under the Romans. There's a short window of Hashmonaim. That's a bit of a scary thought, okay? I was once talking to a friend of mine about this, and he says, yes, but what about all the other things? What about the tshuva that we're promised? I do think it's very interesting when I read that pasuk in Pesukim in Devarim. And again, don't walk away thinking that I'm saying that Mashiach has come. I think we've got a long way to go. And yet, at the same time, I don't look at Mashiach as a binary. It's either galus or it's geula. I think there are many, many pieces. In the same way as in Galus Mitzrayim, we have four cups which represent four stages, Motzeiti, Mitzalti, Kohalti, Olchakti, and you can get out of Egypt, and then you get the Torah, sort of Dayenu model, right? And then you can get to Eretz Yisrael. We got to Eretz Yisrael, but we hadn't yet established Malchus, and then we hadn't yet established a Beis HaMikdash, and even then not everything was so great, so we still got a way to go. I don't think, but I would certainly say, right, that I find it fascinating that when we read that passage before of Hashibota El Vabecha, and admittedly it goes straight to tshuva, but I do think that the modern Zionist movement where Jews turned around, actually did a self-assessment, took a look at themselves and said, we've been waiting for Mashiach for all these years, maybe, and again these were Jews who had embraced secularism and not Torah and Mitzvot, but said, well, maybe we've actually got to make the change, and decided they had to. When did Jewish people stand back, take a look at their situation and then say, let's change it, and actually succeed in changing it? I find that a remarkable move. I only think it's a fragment of what we need, right? And the Rambam has another model, of course, of Mashiach, where the Rambam talks about how the Mashiach will be somebody who gets everyone to do tshuva, is mekabetz nidchei Yisrael, builds the base of edition, will only be able to proclaim his Mashiach when the process is at its close. So we have lots of contradictory models, but if I can put it this way, the We Want Mashiach Now school the instant Mashiach. It's very nice, as I say. I think it's a great, but I think it's closer to the Vayikra model. And what scares me about it is the process whereby you have a sea change, but the people are not quite there. And we have to play catch up. And if we don't play catch up, we have a danger of blowing it all. And I remember once somebody showed me a cute little poem called The Mashiach's Hat. Did anybody ever see this poem? A little rhyming poem. But basically the assumption was that Mashiach came. And he walked into a certain shul, and they said, wait, you know, you might be wearing a black hat. And he went into another shul and put on a black hat. They went to another shul and they said, no, you might be wearing a kippah sruga. They went to the other shul and said, no, you might be wearing a shtreibel. They went to the other one. You get the sense. I always, people say, oh, if only we could be a little bit based on English today. I said, do you think, you've seen the pictures of the women of the wall? I said, let's go out to Har HaBayit, yeah, and let's build a Beis HaMikdash, and I'm scared that it would be seven times worse. Everybody buying and saying this one's not kosher and this one's this, and people feeling alienated. In other words, if we, in that regard, I come back to the tshuva model, where I take tshuva in the broadest sense, tshuva as return, as repair, as a sense of preparing both the Bein Adam LaMakom, the Bein Adam LaChavero, a sense of peoplehood, a sense of nationhood, and all of those things. Now, some people will turn around to me and say, listen, Alex, it's just not going to happen. We're just not that good, right? You're like, you know, the model which says that the Beis HaMikdash will come down from Shamayim in fire is more likely than Am Yisrael doing tshuva, right? I don't know if you're allowed to be choshed b'ksherim like that, you know? When Moshe said, v'heim lo ya'aminu bi, right? Hashem wasn't very happy with him, right? I don't know if we're allowed to have such a lack of faith in Am Yisrael. But I still feel that if we distill it down, there are these two models, and the variations are on these on this particular plane. Yes.
The Chazal say that when Mashiach comes, that there's the ability to do tshuva is removed because the clarity of the Ribono Shel Olam is so great that there's no longer a power to the Yetzer Hara. And doesn't he discuss that if a person doesn't do tshuva before, and like you said in model number one, in which Mashiach just comes when we haven't been beside ourselves, that individuals that haven't done tshuva will be then stuck in internal embarrassment, is the, I think, Chafetz Chaim.
So I'm not familiar with that Chafetz Chaim. However, the Ruch HaVetz Chaim would have a very good basis in this Parshim Devarim, where it says, Umal Hashem, Hashem Lekecha Levavcha. The Ramban says, he'll take away your Yetzer Hara. Now, to live without Yetzer Hara, and this is again a very interesting, I remember many years ago, being in a question and answer session with Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Tzatzal. And Rav Aaron, somebody asked him something about Olam Haba. You know, will we get Schar in Olam Haba for this, that, and the other? Rabbi Lichtenstein, in a very candid moment, said, frankly, I live in this world because to be an Oved Hashem, and I do what Hashem asks me to do. About Olam Haba, I have no information, he said. And he said, then he said something very interesting. He said, I don't know what to do with Olam Haba. Olam Haba is a world where tzadikim yoshvim, v'atrotem, b'roshehem, v'ne'anim iziv ha'shchina, v'yichalkeinu imahem, but my world is the world of struggle, overcoming, always reaching higher, reaching more, working on myself. That's the world I know. That's Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba, that we're just in a sort of static state, ne'anim izeh b'shechina, it's just not, it's nothing that, it sounds terrible. you know, at some level you can conceive, but he said it's totally not where I am. Like, in other words, our whole world is struggling sometimes with our, you know, with our time, with our temper, with our time, so many different things. That's why a world of, I don't even understand history once God takes away my Yetzer Hara, right? What does that mean? It's almost like a world that I don't know. Now, by the way, there are definitely thinkers who's pictured Yemot HaMashiach. You read the Ramchal. Yemot HaMashiach is a time when we get sort of new bodies which don't have, aren't tainted by the sin of Adam HaRishon, and it's a whole world beyond anything we know. But it's not a world that's any world that we know now. It's a world with sort of new model bodies and a new paradigm, a very spiritual world. In which case, Yemot HaMashiach is very different to the world that we live in now. And some people will say, well, that's the only way that we can have this full state of tshuva, right? By somehow taking away the Yetzer Hara, But as I say, it's a whole different reality. So I'm just putting that on the table. In other words, we're sort of changing the whole terms of operation, right? Of how human beings work and what human beings are. Yes.
Trying to piggyback off that idea, I think there's like a text in it's like in Sukkah that talks about like there's my whole kiss in the end of the war of Gogolago where like somebody's dead and everybody's crying. And like one opinion is that it's the Yitzhar was killed. The Tzadikim were crying because they were able to conquer such a great thing.
Yeah, I know.
So like that, I think it fits very well. That it seems that the Yitzhar will be killed, and like the Rosh Hashanah are like, oh wow, like we missed out, and like we don't have the opportunity.
I hear you. So what essentially you're saying is that we reach a point, right, where we can only go a certain way as human beings like we are, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of hyperspaces us into a whole different zone, right? And that's what, now again, interesting for Yemot HaMashiach to be that, but then Yemot HaMashiach is sort of again catapulting us to a whole different state of reality. And then the question is, what does that mean, right? In other words, the whole world shifting into that reality, a sort of end of days reality. And again, then Allah say, what's our avoda at that point? If you've got nothing to struggle against, what's the, in other words, what do we now?
What do you do now?
What do you do, right? So I'm just raising that as a question. But that's sort of more to the end of the process here. I'm talking about it earlier. I'm going to finish off with this Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is a very, very beautiful Gemara. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, source number eight. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, I'm sure many of you have read this Gemara before. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Ashkach Eliyahu Dehavakaimi Apitcha Demarata Derabbi Shimon Ba'echai. I have to mention this on the week of Lag Ba'Omer. Apparently, Eliyahu Navi is hanging about by the entrance to Rabbi Shimon Ba'echai's cave. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi sort of encounters him there. Amalei, Eimat Ati Mashiach. When is Mashiach going to come? Amalei, so he says, Zil Shailah today. Go ask him. Behechi Yasif. Where is he? He sits at Pitcha de Rome, at the entrance to Rome. Right, this is obviously after the Khorban, right? And it's very symbolic that the Mashiach is at the entrance to Rome, our conqueror. Umay Simane. So what's his sign? Yativ Beni Aniye Sovle Chalaim. He sits amongst the poor, ill people, maybe the lepers, some people say. V'kulam sharu v'astira b'chad zimna. And they need to heal themselves. They heal themselves in the sun. They take off all their bandages and they sit in the sun. Must have been quite a sight if there's such a thing ever happened. Outside the gates of Rome, people sitting there, you know, ailing people with their bandages off. And you'll know the Mashiach because iu shari chad v'asir chad. He only takes off one. Everybody else takes off all their bandages, sits out in the sun. And he takes off one bandage. Why? Amar dilma b'ba'ina. Maybe I'm on call. Maybe I'll be needed. And I have to quickly put on all the bandages. It takes hours, right? But I need to quickly put on a bandage to lower Yaakov that I won't be held back. Rabbi Shimon Levi goes, and again, this is obviously a mythic story because to go from Pekin all the way to Rome, right? You don't just hop back and forth. So I imagine this is almost sort of a mythic story. Azala Gabe, he said to him, Amalei Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori, Amalei Shalom Alecha Bar Levi, Amalei Bar Levi is Ben Levi, right? He says to him, Eliyahu says, Shalom Alecha Bar Levi, he knows who he is. Amalei Le'imat Asimar, Rabbi Shimon Levi says to him, when are you coming? Amalei Hayom, I'm coming today. Excitement. Atze Legabe Eliyahu, Amalei, he said to him, what did he tell you? He said, Shalom Alecha Bar Levi, he greeted me, Amalei, Iftach Lach Ula'avua La'alma De'ati. So he says, if you saw him, then you will definitely see Olam. Okay. Amalei, he says, no. Shikurei Kashakarbi. He lied. He said he was coming today, and you can see, Mashiach's not here. Right? To Amalei, he said, Hayom Matina, I'm going to come today. Velo Ata, he didn't come. Amalei, says Eliyahu Hanavi, who of course knows everything about the Mashiach, right? Hachi Amalecha, he said to you, Hayom im Bekola Tishma. He quoted a pasuk. You don't understand. When he said Hayom was the beginning of a pasuk, he wasn't saying I'm coming today. He was saying Hayom im Bekola Tishma. Now again, this is exactly these two things. Is it Hayom? We want Mashiach now. Or is it im Bekola Tishma? And there's a very strong attraction to the Mashiach now, in one guise or another, right? I mean, as many people have pointed out, Shalom Achshav is also a type of Mashiach now. We need an Achshav, right? You know, we'll just do it. It doesn't matter if the conditions are, we'll sign an agreement. If it's a mess up afterwards, Mashiach, yeah, but at least we'll do now. Quick fixes. Quick fixes are very attractive, but the problem is that generally, I'm not saying it can't work that way, frequently things are much more slow processes. And as we can see, and again, I certainly tend, as you can hear very strongly, towards the slow school, and I think that's very well rooted in tradition, but what I would say is there definitely are these two models. And after that, I think all the other models which are created are sort of based on sort of like alterations and manipulations of these different models. Okay, but what we can see is the models which are presented by Rav and Shmuel find their antecedents in the Psukim in Vayikra and Devarim, and we have very, very good reason to try and think for ourselves on the basis of these two models, what are the pluses and what are the minuses of these different models, and draw the implications both for ourselves in terms of our personal conduct and also for our understanding that this really is a long and winding road which we need to take. Now, I think there are huge implications for that, which is that we do have to have a strong awareness of Geulah. But the way to Geulah, I think, is sort of really repairing every single aspect of our natural existence as much as we can. And then we've all got our work cut out for us, whether it's building strong communities, whether it's engaging in chesed, whether it's engaging in kiruv levavot, in all sorts of different ways. Again, ben adam l'chavero and ben adam l'makom, and everything, every other aspect of our national existence. And indeed, we should be zocher, gradually and steadily to be moving closer to this vision, whereby we will be reciprocating to Hashem. We will look to Hashem. Hashem will bless us. We will take a step forward. He will take a stage forward to us, and then hopefully we will reach the state of closeness and national perfection together with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Thank you very much.
You're at Bar Ilan?
No, I'm not at Bar Ilan. I studied a master's at Bar Ilan.
Oh, I was going to ask if you knew I have a niece who's on the way to Bar Ilan.
Who's that?
Tova Ganzo.
I'll show you Tova Ganzo. Oh, well. We used to teach together at Midrash at Lindemann.
Okay.
And I love her book on Yechesk.
She just celebrated the bat mitzvah of one of her daughters.
I use the book on Yecheskel, it's great. So I've got to run to the Midrash at Yom Hashanah now.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.